We do have a quorum then. Looking for a roll call. Director Katz.
Yep.
Director Wilson. Director Canavi. Director Miles.
We have a
quorum. Thanks. Well, I'm a multitasker as chair, huh? All right, yeah. Okay. Item number one.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. Mr. Chairman, would like to request your approval to withdraw item number 2 based on the EMAC committee directions. We are going to come back with the revised report on that. Withdraw item number 2.
Okay. Go ahead.
Okay. Item number 1 is the... can you put the... this thing, please.
Item number 2, I don't think we're going to do, right?
No, sir. That's what I requested. Withdrawal.
Correction already. Look at that. Director Katz, we're not going to do item number 2 because the direction was given.
Well done, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. All right.
Okay. Can we put these slides on, please? Okay. This is our monthly status report on various projects. First one is the Orange Lane extension. The work is proceeding according to schedule. DWP is helping us out in trying to get the Lassen Street Bridge advanced. And we are working with the City of LA regarding all the intersections. We do not have any significant issue at this time to report on Orange Line. On the 405 Sepulveda Pass Improvement Project, we are moving ahead with our agreement with Getty to award the relocation of the 96-inch water main. City of LA is helping us out in trying to solve a lot of the issues associated with the reversible lane. However, they do have some staffing issues because of the layoffs and retirements, which we are trying to work through with the City of LA. And Mayor's
now, the
office.
The question I have, I understand all that, but have you visited with Director Villaraigosa, Director Katz, and others to see how Jaime and others, how we might be able to assist us or, you know, to sort of get on with business, Director Wilson, you know? Yeah?
It is a major issue, and Paul has been talking with the mayor's office also
okay.
on this.
Okay, all right, very good.
Paul, do you want to comment anything on the...
To both us and the city, and we're trying to work with it.
Okay.
We have given some suggestions.
We shouldn't just accept it. I mean, there may be another way to do it, and let's get on with it. I mean, every month, same thing.
Yes, sir. We have all the projects... going to be impacted as a result of that. We are negotiating with GSA and the VA hospital regarding the right-of-way. We are getting help from the elected officials in that area. We are also requiring some design exceptions that we are trying to work through. Other than that, the last one is the Mulholland Bridge. As I reported last time, we are reverting back to the old original design, demolishing the bridge in 2 stages and rebuild that one. So we have instructed our contractor to go ahead with that. On the Crenshaw LAX Transit Corridor project, we are working on a final project definition, and we are continuing to evaluate the arrangement between the Expo and Crenshaw, how that transfer station should work. We are working with the right-of-way people regarding the BNSF track abandonment. The big problem we have is the agreement with the FAA regarding the open versus covered trench on the Aviation Boulevard. We have both supervisor's office and our executive staff involved in resolving that. On the regional connector, the preliminary engineering is underway. We are working with the city to finalize the issues associated with the traffic impacts, haul routes, and the third-party participation in the program. We have completed the urban design and station work at the Tokyo Arts Station. We are having meetings with the stakeholders. We had one yesterday. We'll be having one today. And we also started the constructability reviews to make sure that we have the staging areas for the construction of all the stations and the tunnels. On the subway extension, I think Paul in his report mentioned in the previous committee the coordination meeting that we are having with the Beverly Hills High School and City of Beverly Hills. And we are also working with the city regarding the traffic impacts, haul routes, and also the third-party requirements. We have a station advisory group formed, and we are having meetings with those groups. And we are working on the constructability reviews about staging areas for these stations. We are having community meetings set for this month, later for 21st, 23rd, and 28th on that. Last meeting, construction committee meeting, we brought to you an issue of the sound wall construction and some issues associated with the design and construction. Committee directed us to come back to you. What actions are you going to take in order to avoid future such changes? So I've got Henry here who is going to give you a brief description of what are the steps that we are taking to avoid changes. Go ahead, Henry.
Good morning. The first slide gives the history of the program that is being implemented. The next couple of slides provide you the sound wall location and the current status. Presently, we have engaged for Package 11, an independent design consultant, and we're nearly completed with the design of the package. And we're on schedule and within budget on the Soundwell Design Package 11. The lessons learned for the Soundwell project are generally, we identified four high-risk areas, one of them being geotechnical investigation causing different site conditions, utilities that are not reflected in contract documents, hazardous soil material that's not reflected and needs changes in work, and right-of-way easement and temporary easement, which may cause additional cost growth and schedule impacts. The lessons learned, what we have done for the design of packages 5 to 8 that Caltrans is performing, we've engaged an independent geotechnical consultant to review and provide recommendations on those packages. On future sound wall aligning next to the 210 freeway and river basin, we'll be doing enhanced geotechnical investigation and designing the foundation on spread footing instead of pile. For utilities, we are working with Caltrans and outside agencies to more accurately reflect utility in the plans and specifications. For hazardous materials, we're working closely with Caltrans to identify the quantities such as ADL and also the storage area and the disposal methods for those hazardous material. For right-of-way easement and temporary easement, we'll have joint walkthrough prior to advertising those packages for construction with Caltrans to ensure that any infringement are identified in the contract documents before they're advertised. For alternative soundwell material, we're working with Caltrans to identify alternative soundwell material to provide the bidders an option to bid on alternative material. And that's going to be included in all future soundwell project contracts. For the next steps, we're finalizing and working closely with Caltrans and finalizing the design of packages 5 to 8, and we'll be coming back to the board to get approval for the life of project budget for packages 5 to 8 and then proceed to advertising them for construction. That completes my presentation.
Okay, any questions? Not, thank you. Anything else?
Next, we have Exposition Light Rail update. Mr. Eric Olson.
Thank you. Significant issues. Our settlement agreement with our design build contractor is calling for substantial completion for their scope of work and their contract for June 15th of this year. There's several areas we still need to closely monitor to make sure that we can make that date and our contractor can make it, which includes the completion of the phase one testing, installation of the ventilation system at the trench structure, the blue line tie-in and the automatic train protection that's being installed there, and then continuing to work with LA DOT to get final approvals of our last traffic signal designs and the programming of the controllers. There's still several outstanding contract packages that need to be awarded that could affect the overall budget. So again, we're closely monitoring those and the budget on a almost daily basis. Again, looking to close the projected funding gap. Some of the packages that are still outstanding are the storage facility, the Farmdale station, and then remaining work in Culver City. Phase two, a bit of good news. The judge denied a Neighbor for Smart Rail challenge of our final CEQA document. That ruling is still subject to appeal, so we're waiting to see if we're going to have an appeal on that. And then we are going to our board tomorrow to request authorization to enter into a design-build contract with the Skanska-Rados joint venture. So that concludes my presentation.
Any questions? Right to either one of the... Is it there? Okay. Very good. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, we have the Foothill Authority, Mr. Chris Berner.
Good morning. We're still working to finalize the agreement between Metro and BNSF that will discontinue a portion of freight rail approximately 5 miles from Santa Anita Boulevard in Arcadia to the San Gabriel River Bridge. That is critical to the project that needs to be done before we can award the NTP to our alignment contract. We're hopeful that that will be resolved by the end of this month. On January 18th, we certified an SEIR that added a few modifications to the project. The most notable of those modifications was the maintenance facility. There is a property owner in the area where we will build that maintenance facility. He filed a challenge to a CEQA challenge to that SEIR. We are going through the process of resolving that. We have a conference meeting with them scheduled for the 31st of this month. We're also working on obtaining the California Public Utility Commission approval of the remaining grade crossings. We have 37 in total. We have 15 of those 37 have been approved. We have another 13 of the remaining 22 that are not approved. We've submitted applications on 13 of those, and we're waiting to hear back whether those are approved or not.
What actually does the PUC do in this particular situation is to approve the grade crossings?
They fully regulate the grade crossing. So if we're adding a grade crossing or altering a grade crossing, removing a grade crossing, they are the regulatory authority of that. They have ultimate approval of that grade crossing.
Okay, thank you.
So most of our grade crossings are modifications of existing crossings. It's a simpler process.
Okay, thank you.
We're also taking to the Metro board this month a budget increase for our project. It's approximately a $45 million increase. Even though we are asking for this budget increase, our overall budget for the project is $810 million. That is for the project from Pasadena to Claremont. We believed we could build the first segment from Pasadena to Azusa for $690 million. Over the past year, we've done additional analysis to that budget, and we now believe we need to increase that budget another $45 million. However, even with this increase, we still have $75 million left in the current funding amount that is allocated to our extension from Azusa to Claremont. So that concludes the presentation, unless there are any questions.
Okay, any questions? Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, the next one is item number three. Item number three is requesting approval to use the design build contracting delivery approach for the Crenshaw LAX Transit Corridor project. There are two PUC codes that regulates the design build. One of them is 130242, which says that you can go design build with a low bid on it, and the other code is 20209.5, which says you can go design build, but you can also go with the best value approach. So at this time, we are asking approval to keep those two options open, but get the direction from the board to proceed with the design build on the Crenshaw LAX Transit Corridor project.
Okay, are there questions as it relates to moving forward with the design build? Not an entertaining motion on the recommendation. Yes. Okay, it's been moved. Director Wilson.
Ms. Murthy, can you speak to what the benefit to the agency is for going on a dual track, these options?
I didn't hear.
Can you speak to the issue of what is the benefit to the agency for having both of these options open?
For the design build approach, the currently we are doing the engineering, preliminary engineering on the transit corridor project. We still do not have all the answers, engineering issues that we have over there. We are also doing the geotechnical work. We don't have the full handle on the soil conditions along the alignment. So once we know all of those answers, if we can come up with documents that will give a good description of the project, then a low bid option may be the good way to go. If not, we will have to make sure we have a team that is capable of resolving the engineering solutions that we have and come up with a design, so then we can use the best value approach to make sure the team that we select has the qualifications and the capacity to do the type of work we want them to do.
So today, are you asking us to vote to give you both of these options?
We will take this. We want to keep this option till we have the documents done. We will be done with the documents by end of this year. At that time, we will come to the board and be in a position to make a recommendation based on the work we have done. Please allow us to proceed with one way or the other, with one recommendation.
And at that time, will you have the costs that you don't have now?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All right. Any other questions? If not, it's been moved and seconded. Without objection, so order.
Okay. The next one is item number four. This is the Pasadena Gold Line. This is the first segment of the Gold Line. This one was done by the separate authority, and as you recall, we had a legal action against the contractor for not completing that project to our requirements. As a result of that, we had a settlement with the contractor. The contractor paid us $3.8 million settlement, plus he also agreed to provide us a brand new escalator to Chinatown, which he's doing independent of this $3.8 million. And we also had the agency holding our money to the extent of $2.5 million, which now we are getting that money back into our system. So what we are seeking is approval to go design build with a low bid approach to go and repair the drainage on the LRT bridges, repair the drainage on the station platforms, and some of the other issues like ADA compliance, HVAC, and the leaks at Union Station. So that's what we are seeking for approval to go with design build on this.
Any questions in regards to this, the Pasadena Gold Line request? Okay, if not, Chair, to entertain a motion to move forward.
Wait,
okay, excuse me. All right.
I just got here. I really apologize. This is This is the repairs for the existing.
Correct. Yes, ma'am.
Acceptance of insurance claim. Receiving the money.
It's just that we got yesterday in finance, we got a big increase for the new one, but this is.
Okay.
Apologize.
Okay, no problem. Without objection, so ordered.
Okay.
Next is the receiving file on the unified cost management process.
Mr. David Dale will make the presentation.
This is your motion. Right.
This is just showing you the changes that we made as a result of the board's motion last month. I'd be happy to answer any questions. This is now our policy, and it is being implemented.
Would you like to point out maybe the changes?
Yeah, we added highways, and we added back the transit or highway corridor step in checking for where cost savings might be had to compensate for cost increases. And we also added back the sub-regional step for checking on where we might find the money for cost increases.
Okay. Dr. Clyde Williams, you signed up to speak.
Dr. Clyde Williams, 4115 Burr Road, El Sereno, Northeast LA. The revision was quite a bit better than the previous version of this one, although the previous version indicated that there was $174 million going to be set aside for State Route 710 North Gap Closure Extension, whereas in the current version, revised version, Attachment A indicates that there will be conceptual design alternatives to be studied during in the environmental phase. So far with SR 710 North, we haven't been even provided with a line on a map. No project is defined. So how can you have a life of project cost estimate? We'd prefer to start with something at least, but this will require that a conceptual design be developed and that a life of project cost be developed. We'd like to see them as soon as possible. Thank you.
All right. The items before us, it's a receiving file. Any questions of staff at this point?
Yeah, I have a question.
Yes, Director Wilson.
Can you speak to the issue of what triggers the key milestones relook? Is there some kind of uniformity or something that happens on any project that would allow us to go back and take a look to make sure that we're on track with the budget?
I thought.
Do you want to take it or shall I?
No, go ahead.
Okay. That's exactly what this policy does. It forces us to go to the board at early steps in the environmental and construction phases to make sure that we are still on track towards the budget that is set aside for the project.
So I guess my question is that you have these bullet points here that on any given project, because you're asking for us to adopt this, and this would be consistent with any project that we're doing, correct?
The board has adopted this. What we're doing today is showing you the changes we made as a result of the board motion that was taken last month.
Okay, given that I wasn't here, can you kind of restate it back so I can get more up to date on it?
Yeah. The key to this is at the bottom of page 3 to attachment A, where we show you that the steps we are going to take in the event of a cost increase. We will first look at value engineering and scope reductions. We will look to local agencies if this is a request from them for example, an added feature to the project. We will look at shorter segmentation if the cost increase cannot be met from the first two steps. And we will go to the same transit or highway corridor for other savings to try and pay for the cost increase that way. Each of these steps are sequential, so you have to do all the others before you get there. And then finally, if the cost increase can't be paid for any other way, we would look within the same sub-region.
before we would get
I think I understand what you're saying as far as the criteria there, but maybe I'm not making it clear what I'm asking. What I'm trying to find out is that at what point do we know that there may be a cost that's going to be higher than what was projected, and when does that come back for this to trigger in? That's
okay.
The piece that I'm
okay.
trying to get.
And that's on the bottom of page 4. We would be bringing to you at the selection of conceptual design alternatives during the environmental phase. We'll be bringing to you cost estimates at that point. At the selection of a locally preferred alternative, we will have a cost estimate for you at that point. And at the approval of the final environmental document and entrance into final design, we would have a cost estimate for you at that point. And establishment of a life of project budget immediately prior to construction, you would get a cost estimate at that point.
Thank you. So
through the whole process, yeah. We're going to be bringing back this and making sure we're out ahead of any cost increases we're discovering.
Thank you.
Just as a further explanation, final environmental engineering impact statement and the preliminary engineering, they go parallel simultaneously. So when we come for the approval of the LOP, we will have the life of the project budget and everything established. And that will be the benchmark for the project.
Thank you.
Aisle. Now, item 6 is the report of the CEO.
David, could you stay up there for a minute?
Sure.
Could you talk a little bit about the state bond situation?
Now, we've been updating each and every committee about the lack of a state bond sale. I'm going to make sure I get the right report in front of me. I'm sorry. The treasurer of the state of California deferred the spring bond sale for Prop 1B and Prop 1A and may very well also suspend the fall bond sale. Los Angeles County and the MTA are tracking $4.2 billion of Prop 1B and Prop 1A funding. $1.3 billion of that amount has already been allocated to us. In the FY11 year, we're looking to receive about $580 million of bond proceeds. The suspension of the spring bond sale will result in $133 million of that not being available. We are adjusting our programs for that by using other funds within project budgets or eliminating from project budgets cash flow needs that weren't real, that were not necessary. Those steps won't be enough next year. The long-range plan has $800 million of Prop 1B and Prop 1A funding in it assumed. We believe about half of that won't be available if the fall bond sale is suspended. So we are currently drafting and will be sending to you very soon a complete accounting of the $4.2 billion in Prop 1B and 1A bonds that we are relying upon, and I'd be happy to answer any questions you have. A lot of this turns on what happens with the budget and actions of the voters at the June or July.
First, as I understood from the other committee, the first step here is to get an approved budget.
Yes.
You need to do that. The second piece is your possibility you're able to separate out the high-speed rail versus the other transportation. There are two different tracks, right? Or
right.
We able to do.
Prop 1B is by far and away where the large dollar amounts are for us. We have
the amount that we're talking about in that first little piece is about $133 million that we're going to have to replace.
Yes.
With the possibility, they said we would get reimbursed for that at some particular point in time, but, as I mentioned in the other committee, my fear is that the state owes us almost $300 million in the county back to 2005. So that's not a timely repayment that we might be looking at. So that would impact finding 133, then finding 400 million. So, we got to have $1 billion at stake.
Yes, a statewide line begins to form for these funds, and it could have dramatic impacts on our program.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions? All right. I think that's the agenda. Do we have anything else that you want to raise up? How about public comment? Hey, public comment, Kimberly Richards, and then Dr. Clyde Williams. And then Henry Hogo.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good morning again, directors. This month is the second month in a row that the Measure R Project Delivery Committee meeting has had to been canceled for a variety of reasons. And then I look at the number of items that appear on the construction agenda that were also supposed to be on that agenda. I see Mr. Murthy's PowerPoint of the transit project status update. I have to wonder, directors, and I'll phrase this in the form of a suggestion, perhaps it is time to consider merging the construction and Measure R project delivery committees together. They seem to be duplicating each other's work, and it may make more sense, and it may lead to fewer canceled committee meetings. So I offer that as a suggestion to you, Mr. Chairman and directors.
Thank you. Just to respond to that, one of my concerns originally about having a Measure R is that you wouldn't have the oversight of the construction committee. So it may be something we have to look at. I was not ever one that felt that we needed a Measure R committee, but I think the part of that was to be able to expedite, and you can't expedite if you're not meeting. So, Dr. Williams.
Dr. Clyde Williams, El Sereno. Public comment for scoping? How about scoping? Right now, we don't know what State Route 710 gap closure north extension tunnel is. Right now, in scoping, the proposed project is any transportation facility within 100 square miles. And we're supposed to tell you what the potential significant impacts are of it, how much it will cost, what will be the mitigation, what are the alternatives to a base case project. Even one of the directors indicated that they know where the project will be, so maybe we should have that as a base case. Then get a life of project cost based upon the base case alternative, so that we have some concept as to what's going to be done. By the way, only LADOT attended the agency meeting for scoping. Thank you.
Henry Hogel, AQMD.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Henry Hogo, Assistant Deputy Executive Officer with South Coast AQMD. I'm sorry we missed the Management Committee meeting's discussion on the green construction policy. We just talked to staff, and we look forward to working with your staff to strengthen that policy.
Right, we sort of sent it back with strong direction.
Okay. Okay. I also want to point out
that... And we appreciate your help.
Okay. We also want to point out that a lot of construction fleets are cleaning up with funding from us. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for coming down. I believe that was the last public comment. Any director's comments, items? If not, this meeting adjourned. Thank you.